Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
This is Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast on the Believe Podcast Network.
It's time to awaken an entire nation.
I'll be your dog till I die. Between the hedges, look it fly. 90,000 in the stands, I'ma do my dance, make it look fine. Coach put me in the game. UGA, yeah, the name. Yeah, the offense gon' turn up, but the defense gon' win us the game.
Here's your host, Corey Burton.
All right. Happy Friday. It is the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast on the Believe Podcast Network, the number one podcasting network for professionals. We got a very special show for you. But in case you, in case you're just now joining us, go catch up on all the past shows, anywhere you get your podcast, Apple, Google Play, Spotify, all the above. Just go catch up on the show. We have some gems of episodes dating back all the way to June, and then early September when Israel joined the fray, and then up until now. So a lot of great episodes at Believe in Dogs on all social media platforms: Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Most active on Twitter at Coach Burton 36. On Twitter, and joining me, you can find him at TroopStar28, a guy who just got done rinsing the desiccant out of his child's hair. It's Israel Troop, man. What's up?
What's going on for all the listeners out there who have young kids? If your child just mysteriously gets really, really quiet, you might want to go and check on them. We had an incident last night. Apparently, my daughter was scared that she would get a diaper rash in her hair. So she decided to put Destin in her hair, and it was everywhere. And, you know, you normally see those videos on TV on the internet of kids just getting into stuff. And normally I just giggle at them, but last night was absolutely hilarious when it's your own child that does. You can't even get mad because you want to get mad, but it's just funny just seeing her face just plastered in Destin diaper rash cream.
It's just so much. You know, I've got, you know, when Huck has had his share of diaper rash before, before we got him out of diapers, I know, like, when I get it all over my hands, like, you run it underwater and it seems to, like, congeal to your hand. how was the cleanup process?
Oh, man, it was frustrating at first. But I remembered, you know, you see the commercials with Dawn. And, you know, they take the ducks and the animals who've been in oil and stuff, and they use Dawn to get it out. So I had the bright idea to use Dawn. And my wife has this super powered shampoo that she uses. So it came out pretty easily. The aftermath of cleaning up off the carpet and stuff was the bad part. But we got everything clean, and it made for some very comedic relief. I posted the picture on Facebook and on Twitter. And it's absolutely hilarious. I mean, my mom just died laughing. My mother-in-law and all of them just died laughing when we sent the picture. So it was some great relief from everything that's going on in the world right now. But just seeing it, you know, firsthand, you know, your own child and not another child is absolutely hilarious. I don't advise it happen to anybody else, but it was absolutely hilarious watching her just come in. Her hands are up like, I don't know what to do. What happened?
Just that look of concern, like, it just got everywhere. No, it's inevitable. If you are a parent and you have a child that's under five, or even in my case, a five-year-old, it's inevitable that something is going to be destroyed. Something is going to be spilled all over them. Something is going to be driven into the carpet. And if you have a boy, they're probably going to do something that's borderline accidental suicide. So, it's parenting keeps you on your toes. It makes sure that you're getting plenty of sleep and all the above. So, if you want to see that picture, at TroopStar28, is the place to go. Again, at Believe in Dogs, if you want to follow our show, but we get our show off on a sad note. Something just came across my Twitter feed. If you're a Braves fan, this one stings a little bit. Hammer and Hank Aaron has passed away at age 86. If you don't know who Hammer and Hank is, he was the home run king for a while until Barry Bonds came along. He made it very exciting in an era where the Braves were absolutely horrendous, in an era where they were moving from Milwaukee to Atlanta. he brought kind of that, I guess, that spark, that flair, and a little bit of positivity to the Braves organization. So Hammer and Hank will be missed, not only within the Braves community, but within the Major League Baseball community and the community that he grew up in and lived in. So just wanted to offer our condolences as a show for Hammer and Hank Aaron.
Man, I hate to hear it. My condolences to his family and the Braves organization. You know, I grew up playing baseball. That was actually my first love. You know, Hank Aaron, Jackie Robinson, you know, Ken Griffey Jr., Ken Griffey Sr., and all those guys were guys that I looked up to, especially being an African American male in the game of baseball. They kind of helped mold and shape my thoughts of, you know, becoming a Major League Baseball player at the time when I was playing baseball. So it's a huge hit, you know, to the league. You know, Hank Aaron has done so much for Atlanta. You know, when he played and after he played, you know, all his charity events and things that he puts on. So, you know, that's a huge hit for the Atlanta area and for, you know, the game of baseball. So my condolences to his family. You know, you never want to hear anything like that, but you always remember that they always gone to a better place. You know, I never heard a negative thing about Hank Aaron. You know, everybody was always positive and the support that I've seen, you know, as I'm, you know, go through my Twitter feed as well, just shows you his impact, you know, not just as a baseball player, but, you know, just as a human being. And, you know, so he will terribly be missed.
Yeah, no doubt. And so we dedicate this show to him, and we're going to knock it out of the park on his behalf. So our show is brought to you by betonline.ag. The Super Bowl is right around the corner. The conference championships are actually this weekend. If you're looking for a place to bet on any of the sports, go to betonline.ag. It's the best and only place to lock it in. Can Josh Allen get the Bills finally over the hump and back into the Super Bowl with an upset over Patrick Mahomes? Is Mahomes going to play? That's the storyline there. Brady versus Rodgers. Who's going to win that one? Can the Bucks succeed up in the cold weather? We'll get more into these predictions. But something to think about, Israel, is Green Bay is favored by 3 at home, and Kansas City is favored by 3 at home. So two 3-point lines, two very even matchups. So put that in the back of your mind and think about it. We're gonna put that on the shelf and come back to it. So from game spreads, totals, team, player, and coaching props, which there's a lot of game props on each game, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online, and there's always the online casino as well. It never closes. So head to betonline.ag today. Take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Again, that's betonline.ag. Sign up today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So, Israel, we're gonna get this show off on a basketball note. Georgia defeated Kentucky 63-62 on Wednesday by a basket by P.J. Horn with just over 1 second. This was only the 27th win by Georgia in the series compared to Kentucky's 129 victory. So, needless to say, we were due. It's also the first win against the Wildcats since March 7th, 2013. The Dogs are 3-1 this season in games decided by 4 points or less. Lots of things went well in this game. Georgia seemed to finally pull together and get some things going. So what were your immediate thoughts on this one?
Man, I thought that like you just alluded to, I think the Dogs came out and played a complete game. You know, the game kind of went back and forth and came down to the very last basket, which is not ideal. But, you know, it just shows the progress that they've made. I think that they've, you know, as we've seen, all year, you know, Kentucky's down just a little bit. But, you know, it just shows that, you know, Georgia's working on some things. They're doing a good job and, you know, trying to become a complete team. I think that was the most complete game that I've seen from them all year in conference so far. So I'm very, very proud. You know, you wish that win total against Kentucky wasn't as lopsided, but, you know, one game's a start and you never know what might happen after that.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter. You know, a win over Kentucky is a win over Kentucky, and in my mind, especially when the series is that lopsided. But one of the things that stood out to me, Israel, was the defense. Georgia's defense was crucial. They were able to force Kentucky. They were able to make things very stifling for Kentucky's offense, make things very clunky, very out of sync, very inefficient, however you want to describe it. They allow the fewest points and the lowest shooting percentages since the conference slate started. So they finally were able to prevent Kentucky from getting an abundance of easy shots. That's something that in the previous games they were that was notorious for them, especially against Auburn and Arkansas in those two blowout losses. Arkansas and Auburn were finishing at the rim frequently, and they were hitting a lot of uncontested shots. They were getting a lot of easy shots, low percentage shots. Against Kentucky, that wasn't the case. The field goal percentage was 42, and they were held to 7.7% behind the three-point line. That's one of 13. So, again, just forcing them into bad shots and contesting those shots, I think, was the biggest difference. I think they finally just had communication on defense.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, me and you were texting back and forth, and I think the main thing that I noticed, you know, because I went back and watched the game last night amidst the Destin disaster. I went back and watched it, and we looked to be more physical. You know, I was texting you, I think it was Saturday, and I said, we're just aren't physical. You know, we're just soft on the boards, and we're soft just all around defense. You know, that game against Kentucky just showed me that, I guess they listened to our podcast, somebody did, because they just showed a little bit more physicality during that game. And, you know, you usually don't think of basketball as a physical sport. You know, it's more of a finesse sport. You know, kind of tagging off, especially now. You know, it's not like the 80s and the 90s where, you know, you had Hack a Shaq and, you know, the
Jordan, the
Detroit
rules.
Pistons, you know, yeah. Going at it all the time. But, you know, it just showed that, you know, they became a little bit more physical, and you see what that physicality brings to the game. You know, the game becomes a little bit closer. You know, you have to control the boards and control scoring and things like that, and play a little bit more physical defense, you know, and, you know, most teams don't like that. Most teams want you to back off and, you know, kind of let them do what they do. But it just showed that, you know, we can go and play with anybody, you know, but we just have to be physical. And I think as long as we're physical, I think we can play with anybody.
Yeah, we did better in transition, which is, I think, something that this team, being smaller, needs to be able to do. 20 points off fast break. Did better in the paint this game, 44 points in the paint. And capitalize on turnovers a lot better, too. And I guess that correlates with the fast break points. But we were able to force 11 turnovers and get 25 points. We were able to also, on the defensive end, prevent Kentucky from taking advantage of Georgia's 17 turnovers and only allowing Kentucky to have 11 points off of that. So, again, just some things that this Georgia team, I think, as they find their identity, you're going to see this team probably take advantage of that fast break point stat and try to run a little bit more. And I think you're starting to see that. And I think KD Johnson is somebody that's come in and just kind of provided a spark for this team. And since he's been playing, you know, they played better against Ole Miss, even though they didn't win. And he had a good debut against Auburn. He was the lone bright spot in a blowout. But they were finally able to put everything together.
Oh, yeah, and it's all about finding your spark. You know, think about football season. You know, when JT Daniel came in, it was that spark that Georgia needed. You know, and sometimes that's all you need. Sometimes that one player just comes in, and it just brings that spark and brings that morale up for your team. You can tell, you know, after getting blown out last couple games in conference, you know, they're starting to play better. And I think the win against Kentucky, you know, the excitement that was shown, you know, the guys rushing the court, and they're excited. You know, and I think that's what Georgia needs. They need that excitement, you know, to kind of propel them through the rest of this year. So I'm happy for them. You know, that was a great game. You know, it was great to see, you know, a Tifton native, you know, put up the game when it shot in P.J. Horn, which looked like a disaster for a second there. It looked like the ball was going to kind of squeak through and he wasn't going to be able to get it. But he held his composure and made the shot at the end, you know. So, you know, We're getting there. We're getting closer and closer. There's no need to hit the panic button like we stated in our last show. You know, and you know, basketball has been, you know, growing. You know, it's still in that, you know, rebuilding phase. You know, sometimes you got to break it all the way down to build it right back up. You know, and I think that's what that stage we're in. And I think, like I said earlier, the more physical we can be, and the more dominant we can be on the boards. Because, I mean, we're getting out rebounded left and right, but the last couple games we've shown that physicality is now leading to more rebounds, more putbacks and things like that. And I think it's just one step at a time. And I think you'll start to reap the benefits, you know, as the season goes on and into next season, you know, build a little bit of momentum.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, I think that, you know, anytime you get that kind of thing, you know, better, you know, more physical, anytime you get your bench to help you out some, you get more points off the bench with Andrew Garcia having 16 points off the bench, whereas he struggled in the previous conference games there. You get somebody who has had a hard time taking care of the ball in Sevier Wheeler. He had a season low 2 turnovers, which is phenomenal. He also had 12 assists in this game. So it just seems like this team is just more in sync overall. You just look at the stats, and it just seems like they're more in sync. They're playing better together. They're moving more. It just seemed like watching them in this last four game stretch, where it started with two 30-point blowouts and a loss to Ole Miss, it just seemed like we were just make one pass and everybody just stand around and watch us launch another three, and then let the other team get the rebound, take it down the floor, get an easy shot, rinse and repeat, and then get down, maybe, and then have a little burst of we might come out of this, and then all of a sudden another like 18-2 run, and here we are in blowout city, and you know you're just trying to figure out where this game went. So I think it's another. You know, I think it's a testament to just the patience and the slow building of the culture. I mean, Georgia's basketball culture was awful when Tom Crean took over. It just seemed like it was just disarray. We didn't have an identity. We just had a collection of players wearing the same jersey type situation. And it takes a little bit of time to build that. And Georgia's going to get another opportunity on Saturday, which is actually tomorrow, as they welcome the Gators, the 4-3 Gators. I'd say that's their conference record. The 4-3 Gators to the Steg. That'll be a 1 p.m. tip. So what are we thinking about that game? What does Florida bring to the table? How do we match up with the Gators?
I hadn't really had a chance to watch the Gators, but just from their history, they usually come in, you know, fast paced. They usually have one or two guys that can get it done, but it usually comes down to stopping those guys. But you know, with the big win that we had against Kentucky this week, I think we're going to build off that momentum. I think if we come out with the same mindset, you know, I keep alluding to it, playing physical and taking away the things that they do well, I think we'll come out, you know, and play well. Now, I'm not saying that we'll win, because you know we have been known to turn the ball over a lot. But if we can minimize turnovers and we can play physical, I think we have a very good chance to win that basketball game tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, I think if we can continue this style of play, I mean, you know, when we're 7-0, when we hold opponents to a low percentage from the field, the Gators are 7-0 when they score at least 72 points. So we got to keep them under that threshold if we want a chance to win. But, you know, just the style of play of being more physical on the defensive end and trying to figure out how to be even, you know, at undersized, just trying to be better on the boards. But, you know, just being able to run and continue to take advantage of getting those fast break points and distributing the ball around, getting the ball moving around the perimeter and into the paint. Passing. I mean, when there's a lot of assists and a lot of passing, it seems like not just Georgia's offense, but any offense in basketball seems to go a little bit better, because you can create open shots and you can create looks at the rim. Whereas if you just make one pass, launch a three, and stand around and watch it and hope the ball lands in your hands, you know, that's not a good recipe for success. So I think that continuing to harp on the fast break, continue to play at a fast pace. I mean, we're undersized, so we have to do something atypical. And doing something atypical is like throwing the ball around, passing the ball around, and running.
Exactly. Being able to move. I mean, just you can't just make one pass and then decide this guy's going to take the shot and then, all right, here we go. We're going to play defense. And like you said, rinse and repeat. You know, you got to move the ball around, especially being undersized. You know, you got to find a way to steal a couple points in the paint. And by doing that, you have to move the ball around. You have to get some fast break points, and you have to not turn the ball over. those are the recipes against teams like the Floridas who are going to be very good. Don't let that record fool you. I mean, they're still Florida, and their basketball program has traditionally been very good. So, you know, like you said, just moving the ball around, creating more passes, especially when teams come out and play man against us, you know, just a lot of ball movement, you know, and easy baskets, you know, not relying on the three ball, not relying on ball on shots that are further than 6 feet, you know what I mean? So just getting the ball in the paint, moving the ball around, easy, fast break points, and don't turn the ball over are the recipe. Oh, and being physical are the recipe for Georgia for the rest of this year.
Absolutely. I mean, that should be – you should see this team continue to get better in those areas. So 1 p.m. tip for the Dogs as they host the Gators on Saturday. Now let's flip it over to the women. The women took their second loss in conference yesterday. Last night at South Carolina. South Carolina is rolling. They remain undefeated in the conference. They remain 11-1 overall. The fourth-ranked Gamecocks were victorious 62-50 in a game where they just, you know, they Boston and Cooks, the duo for the Gamecocks, just kept them rolling. And so it was one of those where just too much for Georgia to handle. South Carolina is a great team, great program. So I think, you know, again, not a knock on this team for losing this one. They, you know, Cook and Boston actually had a pair of 16 point efforts for the Gamecocks that helped propel them to a victory. So what are your thoughts on this one?
Man, South Carolina's women's program is absolutely phenomenal. Coach Dawn Staley's doing a great job over there. And you know, for Georgia to be competitive against South Carolina is a big accomplishment for them. You know, so I mean, I don't look at this game as we can't compete. No, they competed. You know, most teams aren't even close to South Carolina at all whenever they play them. I think they almost beat a team like 100-15 one time that I saw this year. So yeah. I mean, they're really good. They're a really good program. So I mean. We're getting closer as a women's program. We're playing great basketball, and we're playing hard. So I mean, this game does not define the rest of the season. And I think if we meet again, you never know what might happen. You know, just from the effort and everything that I saw from the other night. So, you know, from my standpoint, just from watching Lays, you know, just keep pressing on and keep doing what you do well. And guess what? I mean, you already beat a Tennessee team. That you hadn't beaten, what was it, 14 years? I think it was something like that.
1996.
So, I mean, so that program is obviously doing the right things, you know, and it's just a matter of time before they get a couple more pieces in there to really be good and to really, really compete in the SEC and for a national title.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things that, I mean, they've been rolling along too. I mean, they've only lost two conference games, one to Mississippi State in a tight one, and then obviously South Carolina's beating everybody, so that's not – that's not something that that you can walk away with and go, man, well, you know, what the heck's going on? So they're going to look to get back on track. The women's hoop team is going to look to get back on track at home in the Steg versus Arkansas on Monday. So a little Monday night women's basketball on the SEC network. If you want to check that one out, it's a 7 p.m. Eastern time, 6 p.m. Here in Nashville tip. So it's going to be something, you know, Arkansas comes in ranked, they're 2-4 in conference. So they're struggling in conference play. They've lost two out of their last three, to A&M and Tennessee. So, Arkansas is also looking to get back on track. They come in, off a win against, actually they got smoked. I'm reading this backwards. They've lost two of their last three. That was correct, but they lost to Texas A&M in a tight one, and they got smoked by South Carolina, 104-82. So both of these teams have lost their last game that they played to South Carolina, Georgia by 12, and Arkansas by way more than that. So looking to get back on track there. So let's Israel, let's switch gears to football. A couple of things happening in the football world, especially in the defensive backfield. You have four-star Terrion Arnold set to make a decision soon. And also, Georgia is looking for a new defensive backs coach as Warren Charlton gets his opportunity to be defensive coordinator of the Indiana Hoosiers. So starting with Coach Warren, great opportunity for him to go to a great program and a great coach, great head coach in Tom Allen, gets his chance to coordinate a defense. Man, I'm happy for him.
I'm ecstatic for him, you know, and just watching Indiana. You know, Indiana's pretty much known as a basketball school, and watching what their head coach has done with that program and watching the way that those kids, I mean, I wouldn't say kids, but those players, you know, just love their head coach, makes me want to go coach for that guy. So that's a great opportunity for him. I mean, that would be hard to turn down, especially when you see how much they love their head coach. I mean, he has done a phenomenal job at Indiana. You know, Indiana should have been playing for the Big Ten championship, you know. So, I mean, that just shows you just how good and just how up and coming Indiana's doing. So, you know, to get, you know, a job like that, to be a defensive coordinator, I mean, you can't turn that down. You just can't. And, you know, congratulations to him. And I know that I've heard it. What's going on, but Will Muschamp's been in and out of the butts and things like that, you know, and I don't spread rumors, but that's just what I've been reading and what I've been seeing. But you know that Kirby Smart has a wild card in his back pocket, and he's ready to pull it whenever he finds the guy that he wants to be on staff. So you know, with Coach Lanning coming back, you know, it only makes you have to replace a position coach, because we was almost about to replace a defensive coordinator and a position coach. You know, we're going to be fine. Everybody's kind of up in arms about it, but. You know, it's football. You know, you have to do, you know, what's best for you. The kids are doing it. Coaches do it all the time. So congratulations, Coach, and I hope you do well for Indiana.
Absolutely. Represent that G well, and then obviously become the best Hoosier you can be. One of the candidates I just read about, I'm on Football Scoop, is Glenn Ford. He's chairman and CEO of the I Dare You Academy in Atlanta. Very sought after. Has a lot of former NFL player, or not former, current NFL players as former clients, including Minka Fitzpatrick and AJ Terrell. So Glenn Ford comes in. I think, you know, on the Will Muschamp thing, and I think he wants, and I think he said and made this public that he wants to take a year off from on-field mm-hmm. coaching. He's getting a ton of money from South Carolina. And I think as long as he figures out how to, you know, mitigates the terms of the buyout, which I think he's supposed to look for a job. And, you know, I think his name was brought up in some defensive coordinator jobs, but I think he interviewed and just said, hey, I'm just interviewing just so I can get my buyout. I guarantee that's what he said. But it's looking like he's going to become officially an analyst at the University of Georgia here pretty soon. So I think that's a
great job. We got Buster Faulkner, who's an analyst there.
Yeah, he's a QC. He's quality control. Buster is. But yeah, they have a lot of different. They have a lot of great analysts as well. There's a difference.
I didn't even realize there was a difference. I thought they all kind of did the same thing.
Yeah, the analysts, like, they break down way more film than quality control. Like, they run the scout teams. They
Okay.
And I think quality control has some game day responsibilities that they're allowed to have that analysts aren't. So I think the analysts are up in the booth. They're mm-hmm. doing all the statistical stuff. And then the quality control guys are like the liaisons of, like, you know, they're managing the scout team. Like, Buster was the lead, like, Coach Monken was up in the booth, and Buster would be the first one that the quarterback would come off the field to. And they would just talk.
Okay. So I kind of lumped them all together. I mean, if I'm Will Muschamp, I mean, I'm chilling. I mean, I would do that. You know, I get to sit in the office, and I still get to be around football, but I don't have to worry about the day to day, like, stressor of football. Get paid $1 million every other month. Shoot, I'd do that all day.
And let's be honest, they're all coaching inside. They're just not coaching on the practice field. That's a, mm-hmm. you know, let's be honest. I mean, their job titles are different. Some of their responsibilities and what they're allowed to do is different, and that's what makes them different. But yeah, I mean, you're right. They're the same. But so yeah, analyst and quality control guys. So but yeah, that's you know, there's a lot of names that have come up for the Georgia defensive backs coach. I think that they will pick the right guy, and I'm not worried about it. It's just getting a guy in for recruiting. So Tyrion Arnold, he has, I think we have just as good of a shot as anybody at getting him. We have an immediate need at the safety position. He can come in and make an immediate impact for the Dogs in the secondary. I think Florida, the place he was originally committed to, I think they still have a great chance. I think now that Dan Mullen has settled, he has a chance to go in there and play right away. I think those are the two that are the leader. I think Bama's third in this. There's three contenders. I think Georgia has the best chance, followed by Florida and Alabama. There was a reason he decommitted from Florida. So
most definitely, because I mean, right now, especially right now, if I'm him, I'm looking for a chance to play. Right now, Georgia's a chance to play. Right now, you know. So that's what kids want. Kids want immediate satisfaction. That is it. Right now, you get to come in, you get to compete for a job today as soon as you step on campus. You know, so yep. If I'm him and I'm ready to play and I think I can play, then I'm going to Georgia, you know. But, you know, like you said, Florida does have a hand in this as well. You know, Wesley McGriff, who is also a Tift County alum, has joined the staff. And, you know, that Wesley's he's a great coach now. I know he'll be working with the secondary as well. And if he has his take on, I think he's going to be in his ear too, saying, I know you want to come and play for me. And I just read before me and you started talking that that Dan Mullen just made a decision on another secondary coach. I didn't get to finish reading it, but I think he's trying to get the right pieces in there to kind of help out Coach Grantham. But he's also going to have to make a linebacker decision because Christian Robinson is now going to Michigan.
That's soap opera.
That's a lot going on now. I mean, it is. It is spiraling at Florida right now, but in a positive way. You know, he's getting some great coaches in. He's losing, you know, coaches to not just poo-poo schools. You know, Michigan is still Michigan. You know, that is still a top-notch job. And also congratulations to my former teammate, Christian Robinson, on his new job for the Michigan Wolverines. So, I mean, this is the coaching carousel is still spinning, and it's still plenty of time. To get everything done before spring practices. The only bad thing is signing day is in a week and a half, you know, so that's the only bad thing about when coaches leave. You know, coaches start building when they're recruiting, they start building relationships with these kids. And that's essentially why kids go to the school. They love their position coach. And then, you know, they like the school after that, you know, so that's the downside to it. But the plus side, you can get another guy in who can hopefully come in and recruit just as well, and then you keep that commitment or you gain a couple more after that.
Yeah, no doubt. And the guy you were thinking of, is his name is Jules Montanar from South Florida. He's going to coach the corners. So Jules Montanar. So now we're going to get into some of these SEC coaching things, the mess up at Tennessee. But before we do that, we're going to take a break. I want to tell you about one of our newest sponsors, Kansas City Stakes. So with the new year comes tons of new big games in sports. With big games, you need big stakes. Kansas City Stakes has the cuts that you crave to celebrate the playoffs and the big game. Visit KansasCityStakes.com/gameday to save up to $25 on combos perfect for game day. Plus, get free shipping with the code BELIEVE. That's BLEAV. At checkout. So Israel, this sounds extremely enticing. Try out the snack pack combo. So this is what they're considering the snack pack. So featuring small plates with big flavor, the mini beef Wellington steak burger sliders.
Oh,
sign me up. Mac and cheese melts. Okay. I'm still in the boat. And shrimp wrapped in bacon. That is a snack pack combo right there.
Oh, I'm in there. Sign me up right now.
Sign me up. And Kansas City Steaks, if you want to send us a little care package, by all means, I'll contact me and contact Israel at CoachBurton36 at TroopStar28. We'll give you our address. You can send us, an order because it'll be flash frozen. It's delivered directly to your home, satisfaction guaranteed, or your money back. Basically, every cut of steak imaginable, plus appetizers, desserts, barbecue, and so much more. Again, go to kansascitysteaks.com/gameday. Use the code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, at checkout for free shipping. What is that, Israel? How much does the shipping cost if you put BELIEVE in as a promo code?
They said it's free.
Free, that's right. If it's free, it's for me. So Kansas City Steaks, big games, big taste. All right, so that's our sponsor. We also have one, Just Live. I want you. This is going to be a clip that you listen to. So enjoy this one, and when we come back, we will talk SEC football. All right, welcome back. Hope you enjoyed our sponsors. I hope some steaks are coming my way. I need a big tomahawk ribeye. I got my new Traeger grill. Would love to test out the tomahawk ribeye. I did some ribs on it the other night, the other day. I smoked them. Smoked them for like 4 hours, or no, 3 hours, and then finished it off on the gas grill because I was starting to get up against the Huck's bedtime as far as being able to eat. So I finished it off on the grill, got that nice little sear and crust on there, but I slow cooked it for an entire afternoon. So that was good. I got another rack of ribs that I'm going to try and maybe try to finish it off in the Traeger. So hopefully Kansas City Steaks will send us some stuff too as well. So I'm excited about that. You know who else is excited about Kansas City Steaks is Tennessee, because it takes attention off their McDonald's debacle. So in case you haven't, in case you've been stuck in Bernie memes, before Bernie, there were Tennessee McDonald's memes all over the place. Tennessee football, I'm loving it. They fired Jeremy Pruitt and 9 other football staffers, and also AD Phil Fulmer is, quote, retiring. Yeah, right. Amongst major, and the chancellor said, level 1 NCAA recruiting violations. So lots of mess going on in Tennessee there. They're in another coaching search. They were in an AD search until yesterday. They hired AD Danny White from Central Florida, who also has connections and ties to the University of Buffalo, and he was the one that hired Lance Leopold, who sits there now. And then the ever changing MAC champion, that's a league that has a rotating champion just about every year, which that's true parity in a conference. Lance Leopold has done a tremendous job up at Buffalo. You have to think he's a candidate. You have to think Josh Heupel is a candidate off the immediate reaction of this AD hire. But the mess that is Tennessee, there are going to be sanctions on this program. There's probably going to be show causes attached to all of these staffers. I don't know how it works for off-the-field staffers, but the on-the-field coaches, they'll have show cause slapped on them. So, Israel, what do you think of the situation, and how difficult is it going to be to actually find a coach?
Man, I didn't know that they fired a total. Is it a total of 9 or 9 besides the 3 that I knew about?
It was like there was. I think they fired their entire recruiting staff and like a couple of analysts. So that was like 5 people plus I think 2 analysts and then the 2 on the field coaches and Pruitt.
Oh my God, that's including Pruitt. I can't believe that nobody just. Nobody did anything about it. You know, it's obviously been going on for a while. And all the reports that I've read, it came from an inside source, which tells me this, which means that somebody got a Happy Meal instead of some money in their McDonald's bag, and they're not happy about it.
Yep.
So, I mean, if you're going to do dirt, at least be smart about it. You shouldn't do it anyway, but if you're going to do it, be smart about it. Right. And apparently from every coach that I've been looking at and been reading about, they knew that this was coming. You know, Coach Stoops even said it was just a matter of time before it all came out. And when it came out, it's like, wow, like they are now literally the eyesore of the SEC. It has now taken all the pressure off of what LSU was doing. It makes what LSU was doing small potatoes compared to what Tennessee was doing.
No doubt.
And then now, okay, you bring in Coach Steele as interim, okay? thinking that he was going to potentially take over for Jeremy Pruitt, which that has come out as well, that that was the plan. But now that all this has come out, the new AD is in there now because Philip Fulmer mysteriously just decided that I'm just going to retire. Okay, we can all see the writing on the wall on that one.
Yeah.
You bring in Danny White, who says we want an offensive-minded head coach now. So now the whole plan of Tennessee, which means that this came from everywhere. This didn't just magically happen. They had a plan in mind, and their plan has now backfired of how they were going to get rid of Jeremy Pruitt.
Yep.
And then now Danny White comes in. He says, you know what? No, forget that. We're going to change everything. But now you got to think about the kids. I mean, who's going to turn down a McDonald's bag full of money? No kid. No kid is going to do that. No adult is going to do that.
No.
So you can't get mad at the kid. So now you look at the mindset and the standard of the school and the people that are around it and the people who knew and didn't say anything about it. Not only are they guilty, not only are the people who gave out the money guilty, but the people who knew and were a part of that are just as much guilty, if not more, than they are. Because now you weren't worried about the school itself. And now you're just being selfish. You know what I mean? And everything eventually comes to light because people get mad and people will tell on you. And that's what happened. I'm pretty sure they probably pissed off the wrong person. And then guess what happened? Boom, there it is. And not only that, they can prove all of it.
Yeah, it's right there. And I don't, God almighty, they, and that's not to say that they're the only ones doing this because.
Oh, no. By no means are they the only school, but they're just the only school that was dumb enough to get caught and the manner in which they got caught.
They were very brazen, very cavalier about it, very sloppy, like kind of like what SMU was. Like SMU just got to the point where they were just like, yeah, I don't care if people know. They're not going to do anything. And bam, all of a sudden they do something. And and I don't know that the NCAA would have acted that quickly had it not been for Tennessee launching their own internal investigation. Like their whole plot to get rid of Jeremy Pruitt is now has now completely backfired, and the entire university has been screwed because they wanted to get rid of their coach without a buyout, and all they had to do was just fire him
and pay his buyout.
Just fire him, pay his buyout, and probably none of this happens.
As much land and as much stuff that goes on in Tennessee, I'm sure, as much whiskey that is being produced in Tennessee, I'm sure that somebody could have paid that buyout and it would have been nothing would have happened.
I mean,
the people who were giving out the McDonald's bag could have paid his buyout.
The Haslams, who have the Pilot truck stop chain, they definitely could have just, and you know, one Haslam owns the Browns and the other Haslam runs the Pilot stuff. So, I think between the two of them, they probably could have pulled together $16 million out of each other's socks and paid Jeremy Pruitt his buyout to just go on his merry way. This whole notion of we can't afford to pay his buyout is just completely bogus to me. When a team now they're saying money is no option for their new coach. Money is no option. Money would have been no option either way.
Yeah, now, South Carolina and Auburn said that money was no option in getting a new coach. So you're telling me that Tennessee, who is better than both of those, in my opinion, they are, historically, are better than those two schools. They don't have enough money to buy out their head coach? Come on now. Come on.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So if you're Josh Heupel, are you coming?
I'm not touching it. I'm not. I can't. Well, it depends. Because now, you know, you got kids who are now opting out. Kids who were committed are decommitting now. Kids who signed a letter of intent, you know, with the early signing day are now saying, no, I don't want to go there. You know, so you got all those things that are now in play. And as a coach, you got to look at what's going on. You know, your starting tackle slash guard and Y.M. Morris is now gone. He entered the transfer portal. You know, so you're depleted a little bit at the offensive line position. You don't know who your defensive coordinator is going to be. You know, you don't know who you're, you just don't know, you know, and unless, you know, Danny White can come in and sell it being like, hey, this is what we're going to do and this like that. And now it also becomes a point of, can you trust anybody there? You know, because if all this is going on, do you really trust the people who are around there?
I'd have a hard time.
You know, so that just puts that much more pressure on Tennessee to try to right this wrong, in which they could have done after the season and just fired Jeremy Pruitt and just call it a day, instead of trying to backdoor him and being like, well, we're just going to hire, you know, Kevin Steele and see what happens. No, buddy.
Oh, yeah. No, that, yeah, everybody saw through that one.
And then Philip Fulmer just leaves. He retires. After all that came out, he just magically retires. Come on.
All of a sudden, I'm not the long-term option here at Tennessee. I want to hire a new coach with a new AD so that the new AD and the new coach can be together for 10 years. That's what he said in his press conference. Yeah. Okay. Yeah,
get out of here.
Cool. Yeah. Great. You ruined the program, Fulmer. Again.
And you knew it.
And he knew it. And there's no way he gets off scot-free on this. Obviously, he just is forced into retirement, but no penalties or no scarring on his name. It's all on Pruitt. It's not all on Pruitt, but officially it is. So, Tony Elliott, okay? If you're a current head coach, there's no way you touch this job. But if you're a coordinator and you're Tony Elliott, right, and you know Kevin Steele, right, you know the AD, you know, you have some – There's some ties there somewhere. Do you take this job?
I think if I'm Tony Elliott, I take it, but only if I can bring in who I want, and there's a trust factor that must go on. Those people who were giving out the bunny and stuff in the McDonald's bags and stuff, they got to go. I mean, they can still be boosters or whatever they did, but they can't be around the program the way that they were. All the people who are that close, they got to go. Like, you can't, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. You cannot be around the program at the capacity of which you were. I have to get people around me that I can trust. I have to build trust amongst the student body, the school, the players for that matter. You know what I mean? So the players are the ones that's suffering through this whole entire deal. You know, coaches can always go out and find their job, but these players are, you know, the transfer portal is great, but these players are pretty much invested in this university and this football team. So you have to bring somebody in here that is going to bring the morale back and put these guys first. And then, you know, you take care of the other stuff. But the first thing, if I'm Tony Elliott, and if he does, you know, I don't know who's going to take it, but if he did take it, I'm getting people around me that I can trust 100%.
No doubt. And it's crazy. As this saga unfolds, they say they have somebody ready to go, which I think they seem to think that Elliott's on board. So the next time we talk to you, we'll probably be giving you an update on this Tennessee situation, because even though it's not Georgia football, it does have a direct impact on the University of Georgia, because they are SEC East rivals. Now, before we go, I got a couple of things to talk about. The situation in Baton Rouge in New Orleans is head-scratching to me, because you have a guy that is a defensive line coach in the NFL for the Saints, has a chance to become a defensive coordinator down the road at LSU. The Saints block it, and now there's some sort of point of contention, or there has been, between Sean Payton and Ed Orgeron. So you have a toxic relationship with your close-by NFL franchise, which is putting fans at odds and forcing fans, because the Saints and LSU share fans, it's forcing them to choose. So this is causing a divide. They've had a mess of a season at LSU with an NCAA investigation. Where does it end for Ed Orgeron?
Man, I don't know. I mean, there's a lot going on down there. I mean, with everything that happened with them in the middle of the season this year and this ordeal that's happening now, I mean, Sean's a staple in New Orleans. And, I mean, he'll get what he wants before you will.
Exactly.
I don't know where you go from here. Because, I mean, NFL coaches can block interviews left and right, from what I understand. I think colleges can do it too, right? They can block an interview if somebody's interested.
They can. It's not as easy, but they can.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a tough deal. I completely understand, you know, you're trying to get the best guys in, you know, to help your program and to develop your players. But, I mean, you know, Sean Payton is Sean Payton. He is New Orleans, you know, just like Drew Brees. Drew Brees was New Orleans. I think he'll get his way before Ed Orgeron even remotely can sniff anything.
Yep, I think so too. And the fact that he's made a mess with so many of these hires, I think he's on thin ice. I think it's, you know, the clock is ticking for Ed Orgeron, and that seems crazy to say that because they're coming off of a national championship the year before last. So I don't know. I just thought I'd bring that one up. So keep your eyes there in Tiger Land. They did a good job with their offensive coordinator, I thought. But
they did. They did.
But messing with the Saints is not something you want to get in the habit of doing, because they run Louisiana. It's not exactly. LSU. The Saints run Louisiana, not the Pelicans, not the Bayou Bengals. Certainly not the Raging Cajuns of the University of Louisiana. But it is the New Orleans Saints. So before we go, I told you to gather your thoughts, to collect your thoughts, jot down in your little marble notebook with your number two pencil. We're going to make some picks. The NFL conference championships are this weekend. Starting off Sunday is the Bucks at Green Bay. Snow is expected. That's not going to deter Tom Brady, but that might deter some of the other Buccaneer players. Green Bay is 3-point favorites. How do you see this one?
You know, you're playing against quote unquote the GOAT Tom Brady. I like Tom Brady. I'm not a Tom Brady fan as some people are. But I do like him. But I also really, really like Aaron Rodgers. And the way that he plays, especially when they're at home. You know, anytime they're at Lambeau, I mean, he's lights out at Lambeau. And the weapons he has on offense and the way that defense is playing right now. I think I'm going with Green Bay on this one, especially since it's at home. They're going into the cold. You know, they play in the dome against New Orleans, and they're going up there in Green Bay in Wisconsin when it's really frigid, cold. It might snow, you know. So, you know, you like to think that doesn't impact the game. As far as a player go, but in a player mindset, you know, you come from, you know, it's a little bit rainy down here in South Georgia, which means it's sunny and 75 in Tampa right now, to 3 degrees and snowing in Wisconsin. You know, that puts a different mindset on you. But the one thing that they do have in their favor is that Tom Brady, who am I thinking about? Brown. And all those guys, they've played in the snow and things like that. So that might be an advantage for them. But I think for the all-around game, I think I like Green Bay in this one.
Yeah, I like Green Bay because their entire team is more assimilated to this bad weather. Whereas you have just a handful of players that have played in horrible weather cities like Pittsburgh and New England with your quarterback and Antonio Brown. I just think that the Packers are going to be more apt to it. If it wasn't going to be snowing, I would say Tampa Bay I would take Tampa Bay +3 if it wasn't snowing. But since it's going to be more than likely snowing, if it was just cold, I'd take Tampa. But there's going to be more of an element of that. So I'm taking Green Bay at -3. And kicking off the evening, a great matchup here. Buffalo travels to Arrowhead to take on the Chiefs. It is assumed that Pat Mahomes is playing. I'm gonna act as if he is. They are -3. They are 3-point favorites at home against the Bills. The Bills come in very formidable. They've won their previous two playoff games in very different fashions. They're a team that's very diverse. They are in their attack. They're very multiple. Defensively, they're incredible. This will be the best defensive team Kansas City's faced all year. And they've had fits. I mean, they had fits with the Atlanta Falcons, who actually played good defense down the stretch under Raheem Morris. So I'm taking Buffalo +3. I think that even if they don't win, they will at least cover. But I'm taking Buffalo in the upset here.
Ooh, you're making me think a little bit. But I'm gonna have to go with the Chiefs on this one. Well, take that back. Let me tell you this part of it. If Patrick Mahomes plays, the Chiefs win. Point blank period. I think that they just have too much firepower, and the way that he runs that offense will give them the edge they need to win the football game outright. Now, if he doesn't play, I will take the Bills because, I mean, Josh Allen is absolutely ridiculous. I love the way that he runs that offense. You know, the good thing about the Bills, they can beat you 40 – they can score 44, or like last week, they score 17 and play good defense, you know. So it really just depends on the way that the game comes out. You know, I just think that with Patrick Mahomes back there as a signal caller, if he's able to play, I think the Chiefs can just overwhelm them, overwhelm the Bills a little bit too much. But I mean, the Bills are really good. So if Patrick Mahomes plays, I'm taking the Chiefs. If they don't, then if he doesn't play, then I'm taking the Bills.
This secondary, the Bills secondary is just they're the best secondary in the league, in my opinion. You know, save the Rams. I think the Rams are a really good secondary, but I think Buffalo's better, especially at the corner position. Mm-hmm. And so I think they're just, you know, this is going to be a matchup where they have the ability to heat up Patrick Mahomes, get him on the run, test out his bad toe, and see how if he is having any lingering effects from whatever happened on Sunday. If you call it a concussion, I don't know. Jay Glazer actually had a really good description of it, where he said he got choked out on his carotid artery. So he went over that. He's an MMA trainer. If you don't know who Jay Glazer is, he's an MMA trainer and an NFL insider. So he's usually one that has all the great information. Him, Ian Rappaport, and Adam Schefter have all the good NFL information. So for the sake of it's Isaiah McKenzie versus Mecole Hardman in this one. I don't know that either of them are going to make a huge impact in this game, but you hope that they do. And then, you know, obviously you have in the Bucks game. Do we have any dogs in that game?
I'm not sure.
Somewhere.
I think we do, but somewhere. We'll have to look at them.
Yeah, we'll have to look at the rosters.
But, yeah, but on that Patrick Mahomes play, I went back and looked at it because, you know, everybody was saying that it was dirt or anything like that. I think it's just the way that he was tackled. I think that he wasn't going in maliciously. I think the way that – because, you know, most quarterbacks now when they're getting hit, you know, they kind of fold up, protect the ball and everything. And I think just the way that he was tackled is what caused everything, you know.
Yeah,
it's
just an awkward landing, which happens in football.
You know, and it happens all the time, especially with quarterbacks and stuff, you know, because they're trying to protect themselves and all that good stuff. So I think it was a good play. I don't think anything was dirty about it, so everybody just calm down.
Yeah, I mean, if you just look at the way – if it was dirty, he would have, like, basically did a stone-cold stunner on him if he wanted to be dirty. I mean, he just kind of, like, rode him down and just kind of let go, and Mahomes just landed awkwardly, and it's just a freak thing. So, but Israel, that's going to do it for us today. A lot of great content here. I think we hit the variety of content with Tennessee football, Georgia men's and women's basketball, and a little bit of Georgia football mixed in there as well, and some NFL. So, any last words before we let you go?
No, everybody, just be safe. Wear your mask if needed. You know, social distance wherever possible. But other than that, you know, hit that subscribe button and get your steaks, because hopefully they send us a couple. Hint, hint.
If you're listening, Kansas City Steaks, send us a couple. So for Israel, I'm Corey Burton and Israel Troop. We are the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast. I want to thank our sponsors, and we hope you have a great weekend. Enjoy hopefully a Dogs win over the Gators. And enjoy those NFL games this weekend. Maybe you'll order a Kansas City steak. It'll get to you fast, and you can cook it. Take pictures. Let me know how it turns out. We are the Georgia Dogs podcast. So long. Have a great weekend, and go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.